If I love people, I will be patient. I will be kind. I will not be jealous of other people. I will not be proud and say that I am great. If I love people, I will be polite. I will not just want to please myself. I will not quickly become angry. If someone does a wrong thing against me, I will not keep it in my thoughts. If I love people, I will not be happy when bad things happen. Instead, I will be happy when things happen that are right and true. If I love people, I will accept their problems, always accept their problems. I will always believe in them. I will always hope for what is the best. I will always be patient in troubles.
Cool. So you did great. Hang on a minute. Love will always continue. Or shall I use this one? The gift to speak messages from God will not always be necessary. The gift to speak in different languages will stop one day. The gift to know special things will not always be necessary. At this time, we know only a part of everything. We can only speak part of God's whole message. But a time will come when everything becomes complete. When God does that, we will not need the small parts that we have now.
When I was a child, I talked like a child. My thoughts were a child's thoughts. I understood things in a way that a child understands. But now that I have become a man, I have stopped being like a child. At this time, we see things as if we are looking at them in a mirror. What we see now is not clear, but the time will come when we do not need a mirror. We will see everything clearly. Now we know only a part of what is true, but then we will know everything completely. We will understand completely, just as God understands us completely.
Here we go.
At this time, there are three things that
continue.
We continue to trust God. We continue to hope for his good things. We continue to love other people.
But the greatest of these is
love.
Very cool. You can go back to kids' church now. Thank you so much. You can go back. You can keep those. Oh, thanks. Thanks. All right. Good morning. The version I had my loved ones read this morning, I chose because I thought that it used language that the kids who were reading it would understand. It's never too early to learn how to love as God would have us love. So it was from a version called the Easy English Bible. However, I have to say that today I feel totally and utterly unqualified to speak on this chapter today. I don't know what I was thinking when I volunteered, but I am way older than them, and just this week, when I was needing to prepare for this morning, I mucked up big time and had to ask for forgiveness, which was so freely and so quickly given. Thanks, family. So this morning, I hope you find this to be a reminder that we all need to hear. This letter written by Paul teaches us how we should behave, how to love. So be like Paul, not like Wendy. So often, I feel absolutely unlovely and unlovable. To underscore this, I'm going to tell you this little story that happened to me. It was so real and so vivid, and I cling to it, especially when I muck up. A few years ago, I was driving along on my own, and I can remember exactly where I was. I was driving along, heading out of Te Puke towards Papamoa, just going past the end of Bell Road, and I was thinking to myself, gosh, I am such a horrible person. I don't know why anyone would love me, especially God. Barely had the thought entered my head when I saw God pick me up, and I was a gorgeous wee white kitten. He held me up to his face. He closed his eyes and gritted his teeth. Am I too loud? Gritted his teeth there's a few blokes in our family who grit their teeth when they're loving hard. In absolute adoration. It was as if he was saying, I don't just love you, I adore you. And he put me down and said, now off you go. As if to say, don't be so silly. I can still see it. It was so vivid. I told my mum about it, and she asked me, what does God's face look like? And I can't answer that, because I don't know, but I just know that it was him. I knew it was God, and I know that he was showing me exactly how much I'm loved and treasured by him. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In the beginning, no, we're not going back that far, but at the beginning of the chapter, verse 1, it says, I may be able to speak many different languages that people or angels speak. Most versions, this is talking about speaking in tongues. In other words, I could be totally gifted in being able to speak to everyone about anything, but if I don't do it in love, I'm wasting my time. All that they'll hear is a clanging cymbal or a gong or blah, 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 blah. Or I may be able to speak messages from God through prophecy. I may understand all God's secret things and mysteries and know all the facts and have amazing knowledge. I may have great faith that I trust God enough to move mountains, but without love, I'm nothing. Pretty harsh. Then it says, I may give all my things to help poor people. I may let other people take my body to burn it. But that wouldn't help me if I don't love others. Pretty graphic. So that's how it works. Those are all the things we can do and can be amazing at because of the gifts God has given us. But they're simply not as important as love. So what is love? Love is patient. In order to love people, oh, there's a thingy. Yeah, that's it. In order to love people, I need to be patient. So this is a tough one. Don't know about you, but it's only the first instruction. Some of you will know that up until a few years ago, I was a school dental nurse, or a dental therapist, as we're now called. I was so, so very patient with all my patients. I could show love to them very well, using the patience of Jesus. But when it comes to my own family, hopeless. They all know that when they're sick, they get 24 hours. That's it. I'm just not a good nurse after that. They just need to get better. Come on, crack on. They had this thing where they would actually say, clock on and clock off. They were trying to eke out their 24 hours of care. Pete still does it, actually. I really, really want to be patient, and I can now be very patient with my grandchildren, but in the busyness of motherhood, I just didn't have time. I don't know how he did it. Jesus always had time. But you know, I reckon love and patience could also be spelt T-I-M-E, time. Giving someone your time shows love. It's a work in progress, and I'm definitely better than I was. Like I say, this chapter is a fabulous reminder of what love should look like. And here I am, stuck on the first bit. Love is patient. Anyone else with me? Good. Love is kind. Being kind is easy, right? Well, what about Jesus teaching to love your neighbor as yourself? This is the epitome of kindness, encouraging people to treat others with the same respect and care to everyone, even to love our enemies. In Luke 6:35, Jesus instructed his followers to love your enemies and to good to those who hate you, demonstrating that true kindness extends even to those who may not have been very kind to you. So just this morning, coming into church, Pete and I were talking, and so this isn't written down, so here we go. But loving our neighbours and being kind to those who don't like us very much. So our actual neighbour at the orchard quite a few years ago now, Carmen, she hated our guts. She hated the boys on their motorbikes. She hated our kettle. She hated everything about us. We made too much noise. Anyway, this one particular harvest season, her orchard manager came to us and said, could we borrow your loadout yard? Because the one we usually use, we can't use. And I was like, nah, what would we do that for? How ridiculous. She doesn't do anything for us. I don't want to do anything for her. Pete goes, yes, she can. Yes, she can. Okay. This started off this lovely relationship. And if I had said, nah, like I wanted to, it would never have occurred. She couldn't talk to us either. So when we came home this one day, there was this lovely gift in the centre of our driveway. But that was the start. And she was a lovely neighbour after that. So God wants us to love and be kind to everyone, even our yucky literal neighbours. It also means to forgive others, as in Ephesians 4:32. Kindness involves forgiving one another as God forgave you. This act of forgiveness is a key component of showing love and compassion. Showing hospitality to strangers is another act of kindness that reflects God's generosity. Kindness can also involve actively serving those in need and uplifting others to make a positive difference in the world. We teach kindness to our kids and grandkids, so we need to demonstrate this in every way possible. Kindness always wins. Jesus says, always. Love does not envy. I will not be jealous of other people. Oh boy, this one is tricky. And another very important reminder. I don't know about you, but I'm always wanting to, and often do, compare myself to others, which is a super slippery slide to unhappiness. President Theodore Roosevelt said, "Comparison is the thief of joy." And it is so true. I'm getting better at it as the years go by, just accepting who I am. But we compare bodies, that's one thing, but talents, a whole other story. Why can't I fix things and sort things out like Pete can? I look at some of the issues with fixing and building things, and he just comes up with a solution to go round another way. Some of you will know that from Evergreen House. Or like Curtis, who is such a natural sports person that he tries something once and he's good at it. Or like Ryan, who notices things about other people so quickly and addresses them and or offers to help. Or like Amy, who sings like an angel so effortlessly. Or Joe, who on Sunday prayed in front of the church so authentically and spirit-filled. Incredible. I can tell you why. Because I and me. Just the way God made me. I have talents and gifts too. I will not be jealous because that is really not loving. Thanks, Jesus, for the reminder. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Have you met my grandchildren? This was just three of them. There is another couple. Oh, whatever. You know that my grandkids are the cutest and the most gifted. So as long as we all know that, we'll all be fine. I can be loving. You see how hard it is to be the perfect example of love? But what does it actually mean to not boast or be proud? We're not to love ourselves or others above God. When we do, we in effect exalt ourselves and engage in self-worship. In Genesis 11:2-4, the people in the land of Shinar, S-H-I-N-A-R, chose to erect a tower with its top in the heavens in an effort to make a name for themselves. They no longer chose to be identified as people who loved God above all else. Instead, they boasted in and loved themselves above God. This is what it means to be boastful and proud. Love does not dishonour others. This one, I had to look up the definition just to make sure I was understanding it correctly. The noun is a state of shame or disgrace, But love is a verb, so it is to bring shame or disgrace on, or fail to observe or respect. So that version I had the kids read at the very beginning is perfect. It said in verse 5, if I love people, I will be polite. That about sums it up. We can do that. Love is not self-seeking. What does Paul mean when he says that love is not self-seeking? He means that true love is selfless. It does not prioritize personal gain, pleasure, or advantage. So instead of focusing on his own needs, it puts others first. Now, here's a really good example of this. We've just had our women's retreat a couple of weeks ago. Women at the camp anyway, were very good at letting others go first in the food line. They're also awesome at helping out with the dishes. There is never a roster required. They just get on with it. We take care of ourselves and take care of others and make sure that they're taken care of as well. Love in action. Love is not easily angered. All the excuses I could give you for becoming angry. I'm tired. You wound me up. You pushed my buttons. It's always someone else's fault. But is it? I want to be known for love. So what it means is to show restraint of temper, a deliberate choice to be patient, empathetic, and understanding, rather than readily provoked or irritated. So, Wendy, and anyone out there who is feeling a little convicted, take a breath. From what I read, it doesn't mean that I'm not allowed to feel angry, but it is to choose to not let it become all-consuming, or to express it destructively, or to be a quick reaction to every wee offence. It involves being controlled and having patience. Another great reminder. Love keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't hold a grudge. Remember that time when... Never mind. Stop and think. Don't use your elephant brain that never forgets. Be like Dory in the movie Nemo. No memory at all. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. As soon as I read this one, when I was preparing for today, it reminded me of Kiara. So Kiara is my youngest granddaughter, and she has the cheekiest laugh. She goes, I hope this is not going to be too loud in this thing, but she goes, ha, 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 ha. It sounds like she is delighting in something super rascally, totally evil. Sounds like she is absolutely laughing at someone's misfortune. There she is. It also reminded me of a funny story at the Oktoberfest. How timely. A few years ago, when Joel Moore was the youth pastor here, we were packing up, we were all done for the day, it was a great day, we were heading for home. And I can't remember the exact circumstances, but he was insisting on paying me back for something. So anyway, I held out my hand, and he popped a plastic cockroach in my hand. I hate cockroaches with a passion, so the instant I saw it, and he knew this, by the way, I screamed blue murder, threw the cockroach, and fell over backwards. He was mortified. He knew I hated cockroaches, but didn't think I would react quite so strongly. He was extremely apologetic and certainly didn't think it was funny anymore. He certainly did not take pleasure in my misfortune or delight in the evil act. However, my family did. Actually, they still laugh about it now. It rejoices, love rejoices in the truth. Love values honesty, which includes admitting when you've done wrong and forgiving others when they ask for it. Love always protects. A loving person will always actively defend and support those they care about. This is not sitting nicely anymore. Building up, not tearing down. Love always trusts. Okay, here we go. I will always trust people until they give me a reason not to. Others don't trust anyone until they give them a reason not to. But I am always so super gullible. I do not have a very active sarcasm radar, eh, Curtis? In fact, he'll often ask me whether my sarcasm radar is turned on. It's always been a source of some family frustration, but also lots of laughter. It's a choice to trust and believe in people, which in turn can make them feel loved and inspire them to rise to the occasion and live up to that trust. However, this doesn't mean suspending discernment or being foolishly gullible. Love always trusts. Does not mean for us to believe everything that is said or to trust without wisdom. Maybe when I grow up, I'll be a little wiser. Love always hopes. The Greek word for hope, elpidzo, signifies more than a mere wish. It's a confident expectation of something good, like having faith in the unseen. We can do this. Hoping is an action of love, a conscious choice to look for the good in people and situations, which can be beneficial for both the giver and the receiver of love. Love always perseveres. That is the act of endurance. Love does not give up, even when faced with hardship, challenges, or conflict. It will remain strong through the tough times, misunderstandings, and difficulties. Love is not at all fleeting. It is based on a choice to stick with it. Jesus was the truest example of this. His love for his followers and all of us remained so strong even through his own suffering and consequent death. Thanks for enduring through this with me. So after all those reminders, we are all human, and not everyone is lovely or lovable, but it is what God calls us to do and be. Anyone here got it all together and can love like Jesus did? Anyone still got a ways to go? Absolutely. We're still learning every day. I want to skip now to the second half of verse 12, and this is from the super easily understandable version that we read out earlier. It says, we will understand completely, just as God understands us completely. God doesn't expect us to be someone we're not. He made us all perfect. So in Psalm 139, verses 13 to 14, it says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So he made us just the way we are. Perfect. And then if we go back up to verses 1 to 4, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. He knew that we were going to be dirty, rotten scoundrels, and he loves us anyway. Our job is to be the very best version of ourselves as we can, which is why 1 Corinthians 13 is such an awesome reminder of the very important lesson that is love. We won't always get it right, which is why Jesus died for us, so that we can ask for forgiveness and do better next time. Josiah spoke last week from 1 Corinthians 12 about the parts of the body and how every single piece is required for a fully functioning body. Well, love is the glue that holds the body of Christ together. As hard as I have just made it out to be, it is what we strive for, as it is what makes us, as Christians, stand out in a super unlovely world. There's a song that we used to sing in youth group, and I won't sing it to you, but the words went like this, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Let's strive to love one another so that we are known as a church family who love each other so very well that everyone will want to know what it is that we have that they, the rest of the world, needs.